Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome again to another Hebraic Journey through the Bible broadcast. And, of course, my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor and, of course, a rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which will answer some of the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yeshua, which some of you know as Jesus. And at this time, I have the distinct honor to welcome and introduce Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John. I'm glad to be a co-host on the show with you. It is truly a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. And this is our 23rd show. And so we will continue to discuss the question about the Holy Spirit. And thank you for the introduction, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
You're welcome. And Father, right now we just submit ourselves to you, and we just allow you to begin to do your perfect work, not only in us, but in this broadcast. We allow your Ruach HaKodesh to begin to move and fulfill and to fill each and every one of us with a full purpose and call for the reason why we're here and the reason why we're here on this earth. We do ask you to forgive us for any sin or iniquity and transgression that we may have done, and we choose. It's a quality decision. It's not something we have to muster up or have to build up the faith for, but we make a quality decision to forgive those who have sinned against us, cause iniquity and transgression. So we submit that to you right now, Father. Father, we allow your Ruach to blow upon this broadcast and upon this time, this set time, to hear what you are saying to us so that we can begin to have a more intimate relationship with you. In Yahushua's name, amen.
And so as we're continuing the show, last week we were dealing with the definitions of grieving the Holy Spirit as well as blaspheming. We were coming out of Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through Acts chapter 5, verse 10. We stopped at verse 3, but what we were dealing with was the fact that the believers were led or moved by the Holy Spirit to give, and they all gave equally. Near the end of Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, you'll see where one of the leaders, it's not Jose, is I'm struggling with that name, Rabbi.
Oh, that's all right.
It's J-O-S-E-S.
Yeah, that's right.
Joseph. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he was led to give, and he actually sold land, and he gave the portion to the church. And then when we move into Acts chapter 5, we begin to see that there are two other leaders, Ananias and Sapphira, who it's obvious that Ananias was filled with pride and arrogance, where they were supposed to sell a possession, but as they were coming, they were only given part. And you ended the show with a question that you wanted people to think about. Can a believer be filled with the devil or an evil spirit? And so I'll hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. Well, thank you. All right. And that was very well put. And before I have Evangelist Tanita read Acts chapter 5, verses 1, all the way up to where we started to include verse 3, I want to make this abundantly clear again, because it's so important. Oftentimes, because individuals haven't really done a very good job of the historical cultural analysis in this particular passage, you tend to, say something like, for example, well, they weren't really saved, or they weren't leaders, or they were new converts and they didn't know. All of those are wrong for the simple fact that, number one, the Holy Spirit and blaspheming the Holy Spirit can only be done by an individual who is a believer, who is aware of what they're doing. Okay? And the reason why I say that is because when Yeshua was walking the earth, when Jesus was walking the earth, the Pharisees and Sadducees were very ugly to him. They were vehemently saying things like, "You are of the devil."
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand this. Those terms are terms that are so egregious that they, in and of themselves, would qualify as blaspheming or grieving, at least grieving, very close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, but at least grieving the Holy Spirit, because what the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing, they were literally saying that the miracle signs and wonders that were being done by the Holy Spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh, were of the devil. That's what they were literally saying. And Yeshua pointed and said, blaspheming, so he let them know that what you're doing is blaspheming. He says blaspheming or something that is spoken against the Father or the Son will be forgiven, but the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. He said it in that same context of that same situation. Well, if that's the case, then why did the Pharisees and Sadducees not drop down dead? But yet, Ananias and Sapphira, doing something that perceptually could have been be looked upon as, you know, just lying, you know, not mm-hmm. something as grudgeous and as forbearing and serious as what the Pharisees and Sadducees did, because they were passionate about and believed totally that Jesus was of a devil, okay? But yet, they did not receive the immediate penalty that Ananias and Sapphira did. And the reason for that is because of the fact of the position of the relationship. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not have a relationship like the New Testament believers. As a matter of fact, they were in the same realm as heathens, because they did not accept Yeshua, and they didn't accept his work on earth. So they were ignorant, whereas the others, they had a relationship with Yeshua. They had a relationship with the Father, and they definitely had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, mm-hmm. and you'll see they were in the church. They were pillars of the church. So we're going to go back real quick and just read Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and then jump from there to Acts chapter 5, and we'll ramp up to verses 1, 2, and 3, and tie a little nice little bow in it, and then we'll go forward. Okay? If you could do that for me, Evangelist Tanita.
Yes. So Acts chapter 4, verse 32, New King James Version. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common.
Okay. Now, there is no way that any Bible scholar or anyone else can say that one, Ananias and Sapphira were not saved. You can't say that. They were. You can't say that they weren't baptized in water. You can't say that they didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because all of these that were in common, all of these that were believers, the understanding of the word believer then meant so much more than it does now. Okay, it wasn't just a person who had had a salvation experience and accepted Yeshua in their heart. This was a person that had also been water baptized. This is a person that also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a person who also received and walked in Torah. Yes, I said walked in Torah. Okay, all right. Back in that particular day, this was also a person that went and fellowshipped on the Sabbath, because they didn't have any other godly, if you'll allow me to say that word, godly churches back then other than the ones in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So they worshiped on Sabbath. They worshipped in the synagogue and in house to house as well. And that came about, obviously, because they began to get kicked out of the synagogues over time. But the point that we want to go back and stress here is the fact that Ananias and Sapphira were not just believers. They were not novice, okay? They were, in fact, a part of the clergy from a standpoint of a deacon and deaconesses, if you will, if I can use that term. That's what they were. Peter knew them by name. He knew them by name because they were a part of all of the things that were being done to help facilitate the service, if you will. So they had interaction with Peter. Peter knew them. He knew their family. He knew where they lived. All of these things were very, very common to him and to them. So they weren't novice. They didn't just get saved yesterday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can go ahead and read. Now what we're going to do is we're going to ramp up to verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 5 of Acts, where we had stopped.
Okay. Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira and his wife sold a possession, and he kept that part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep that part of the peace of the land for yourself?
Now, if you can stop right there just for a second, I want to make sure that we understand that they didn't have an offering plate. They didn't have a small little booth or any small box or something where they just slipped it in. They, like the scriptures say, they laid their offering at the apostles' feet. Now remember, there are thousands of people in this congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. Okay? And all of these individuals are laying their offering, their money at his feet. Now remember, this is not tithes. Like I said before, this is above the tithe. This is an offering. This is what would be considered, and we've talked about it before, is a free will offering. This is talked about in the Levitical priesthood. This is something above the tithe that you feel impressed of God to give. No manipulation, no witchcraft, no $50 line, $100 line, all this other foolishness. And yes, I said it's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
That is not something that, think about it, that's not something that any of the early Messianic believers would tolerate, much less mandate for individuals. This was a free will offering. They laid it at the apostles' feet based upon their own volition. Now, fast forward. You have all these people doing this. Peter knows this family. The Holy Spirit reveals to him, not their name because he already knew who they were, but revealed what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed what they had done. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit reveals to Peter exactly what was done as they are, and this is as the husband now, because the wife hadn't even shown up yet. The husband is the one, first and foremost, that lays this at his feet. Now, they both conspire this story of what the amount is. It's like selling a piece of property for $100,000 and saying, look, we're going to agree to only give $50,000. And then we're going to say that we sold it for $50,000, but we're going to keep $50,000 for ourselves, and we're going to sell the property for $100,000, keep $50,000, and tell them that we sold it for $50,000.
Mm.
All of that was revealed to to Peter. So the moment that he goes and puts this money down, the very moment is when Peter makes this particular statement. Okay, let's go ahead and read from verse 3 to 4.
Okay. Okay, so, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing? Okay.
All right. Well, go ahead and finish that. I'm sorry.
Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God.
Peter was letting him know, and he was letting us know. He wasn't just letting him know. He was letting the church know, the kingdom of God know, mm-hmm. that this is without a doubt a free will offering. You did not have to give it if you did not want to. That's what Peter's saying. This is not tithes. This is above the tithes. It was in your complete control.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do this? It goes back to what Evangelist Tanita had said, pride and arrogance, wanting to be seen of men to be just like Barnabas. Because mm-hmm. when Barnabas sold beachfront property, because it was in Cyprus, he had beachfront property in Cyprus and took all of the proceeds and gave 100% of it. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they saw that. They saw the accolades. They saw the, oh, wow, isn't he anointed and really submitted and submissive to the Lord? They saw all of those oohs and ahs, and they got caught up in the oohs and ahs of wanting mm-hmm. to be seen and wanting to be looked upon and stroked, spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. So they concocted this idea to do this very thing. Now, it says, and Peter's saying this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, it's like the Holy Spirit of God saying this very thing, saying, you are a believer. You're yoked with us, not just mm-hmm. in salvation only, but in water baptism,
mm-hmm.
in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and the gifts of the Spirit. As
mm-hmm.
well as walking in Torah, which is the marriage mm-hmm. contract, okay, the ketubah. You walk in all of the things that we walk in, plus you're considered a senior. You're considered a deacon and deaconess because you're not a novice. You understand the serving and the importance of the service and all of that. But yet,
mm-hmm.
you have deceived yourselves into believing that you're doing this in front of men, and you miss the fact that you have lied to the Holy Spirit. This is a blaspheming mm. of the Holy Spirit. And for that, because
mm-hmm.
you're not like the Pharisees and Sadducees that spoke to Jesus and pointed him out and said that, and to his face said that the miracles that he does is because he is infestated with demons and he utilizes their power to do these miracles. That's blaspheming as well, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But understand, Ananias and Sapphira were at a different level. They were at a high level.
Sorry.
They knew better. And because they knew better and they continued to do this, because, see, after at least a few hours at least, then his wife comes in and goes along with the same story. And the very same thing happens to her. And the very same men that took her husband out after he fell down dead immediately does the same thing with her. And I have the evangelist Tanita read that. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, starting at verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about
Stop for just a second. I was reminded of a Bible class or a Bible college that my wife and I had went to early in our marriage, but early in our walk with the Lord. And in this Bible college, and I'm not going to mention the college, I'm not going to mention the individual because I'm not here to embarrass or anything like that, but I want to give you an understanding of how easy it is to misunderstand Scripture.
Amen.
This particular passage of Scripture was understood by the instructor that we had at the time. And there was something said by the instructor pertaining to, you know, once you're saved, you know, you're always saved. And one of us, I don't know if it was myself or it was somebody else along with myself, but we had mentioned to the instructor, not to embarrass him, but just asking a question in a very respectful and humble manner. We said, well, you know, of course you know about Ananias and Sapphira, and they did not go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Well, what was interesting was he did not know that. In his mindset, what he thought happened was that in order to keep them from going to hell, God took his spirit from them so that they would die and so that they could go to heaven. That was his mindset. Now, he, of course, researched it and changed his mind and realized, you know, there's no way that they could because they blasphemed against the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the point is this type of doctrine of demons is out there pertaining mm-hmm. to this situation. Why would there be fear? Now, think about this, Evangelist Tania. Why would there be mm-hmm. fear throughout the camp when these individuals... Why would there be fear? If these mm-hmm. individuals went to heaven, then it would be, in my mindset, in that historical time period, when they're feeding them to the lions and putting them on the cross and all that, it'd be like, hey, take me out like that. Let me go to heaven
that
quick.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? They, in that day, in that time period, in that biblical setting, they knew exactly what happened. They knew exactly where their destination was. They knew they went to hell. And that's why the fear came around the whole camp to make sure that you did not blaspheme the Holy Spirit and end up like them. Read that again. Because I want to make sure that the audience really catches that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't praise and worship and shout in church. When they died, okay? Fear, F-E-A-R, fear
mm-hmm.
came upon
Amen.
The whole congregation. Respect for the apostles came upon the whole congregation. And you'll see even as she mm-hmm. reads even further that because of that fear and because of that mindset being changed to be more
mm-hmm.
respectful and honorable, the
mm-hmm.
gifts of the Spirit increased. They literally increased to the point to where that more grace was given to
Amen.
The apostle.
Amen.
Okay, please go ahead and read.
Yes.
You got me excited.
Verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look.
Stop there for a second.
Okay.
Stop there for a second. When you go and look at that particular word in the Greek, it is not, the word test is not an appropriate English word to use at all. It's a harsher word that needs to be used there. It needs to be, why did you come and tempt the Holy Spirit? There's a difference between testing and temptation. Temptation happens when you allow sin and Satan to come into your heart and to devise evil things. A test is totally different. Okay? A test is what God did with Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, when he told him to go and go to a certain mountain that he was going to show him, that the Father was going to show him, and to sacrifice his son. That was a test. Mm-hmm. And the tests come whenever we are in a situation where we begin to love the gift more than the giver.
Mm-hmm.
When we begin to love the gift more than the giver, then a test comes. This is a temptation. So this is past the test. This is when your will, a temptation comes when your will falls based upon a trial. I did a teaching and a preaching on test, trial, and temptation. Which one is it? Because at any given time, you are being either tested, tried, or tempted. And a temptation comes when you fail the trial, when you're on trial and your will wants to do evil more than it wants to do good. Then now you have just entered into a temptation. And see, it fits the pattern for these individuals. It fits the pattern because they were tested first. When Barnabas did what he did, they were tested. The scripture says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Don't look at it and then have your will fail, because their will failed because they were like, oh, I want the publicity. I want the notoriety. I want to be looked upon as an individual that has the wherewithal and the means to satisfy anyone's need. They failed the trial. They were on trial and they failed. Their will gave in, and then they concocted the plan. The temptation came when they came up against the final event, and instead of backing down or changing their mind, they went through with the temptation. It was not a test. It was not a test. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and let Evangelist Sunita give you information pertaining to how you can know more about us and get more information if you so desire, or even visit our congregation.
Amen. Oh, great word, Rabbi. Thank you. A lot for us to think about with understanding tests, trials, and temptation. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is called Beth Hashem Ministries, and there are two websites that you can reach us at or research for information about Beth Hashem. The first one is www.bethhashem.org. That is BethHashem.org. We also have a Facebook page, and that is located at www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend the services, you can email us at BethHashem@yahoo.org. That is BethHashem@yahoo.com for directions. Also, for those that are interested in Bull College, where you can truly learn how to understand and study the Bible from a Hebraic perspective, as well as learning the Hebrew words, you can email us at admin@bethesham.org. That is admin@bethesham.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. And Father, we just give you praise. We thank you for all the words that you've spoken and the insight. And Father, we pray that it doesn't fall on deaf ears. We pray that you open the minds and the hearts of each person that's listening and give them a desire to really begin to be that Berean that they must be in these days and times that we live in. Allow them to begin to take those scriptures and go back and begin to chew the cud, if you will, begin to go back and do in-depth studying to find out if what we say be true and if it is true. Holy Spirit, we ask that you begin to open the door to their desire to be obedient to what they know have learned. In Yahushua's name, until next time, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Amen.